Firepower with Will Johnson. Only at band.video.
Welcome. It's Friday evening. It's Friday the 13th of all days. We are talking about impeach or not to impeach. The Dems, they're split on how they should divide this country. All day yesterday, this was before the debate. All day the Democrats were talking about on the lamestream media the wording when it comes to impeachment. U.S. Representative Nadler and House Leader Nancy Pelosi, they're split when it comes to saying that they are impeaching President Trump. Notice how Andrew McCabe hit the news and should have been the main topic of the day. But immediately, they started talking about impeachment, right? Yet they had to get everyone's mind off of Andrew McCabe. And they had to make sure that to do so, they approved guidelines for impeachment hearings. So then that became the number one topic of the day. Not Andrew McCabe, which everyone should have been paying attention to, but impeachment. You notice how they do that. They do that quite frequently. They do it all the time when they want to deflect from the real story. They'll bring up something or some kind of crisis will take place in America to get everyone to start thinking about something else other than what you should be paying attention to. The Democrats debated each other last night. And no fireworks between Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren, as we all expected. Between Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren, Andrew Yang was clearly the winner on stage and on Drudge Report. But the winner of last night's debate, hands down, without a doubt, of course, is President Trump. Without saying it, you already know it. That's why the Democrats are screaming for Michelle Obama to throw her name into the hat. Because they know none of the ones that's on the stage can hold a candle to President Trump. The Dems are lost on what to do. They're grasping for straws. But now they're grasping for our guns. See, they want to remove any kind of ability for us to protect ourselves. They no longer hide the fact that they are trying to remove our Second Amendment rights from law-abiding citizens. Socialism and communism is what the left is trying to bring to America. And they know they can't implement it if Americans are able to protect themselves. So do me a favor. Go on over to band.video. It's on the other side tonight. Go to band.video and click on my picture. When you click on my picture, you will come to the live stream. Take that link and share it with everybody you know. Share it with all of your friends. Share it. Tweet it. Text it. Put it on Facebook. Put it on YouTube. Whatever you do, get it out there. So let's head on in. We have a phenomenal show tonight. So let's head on into the studio. Firepowernews.com. We have wonderful guests tonight. We have Tom Pepper. He's going to be co-hosting with me again. And then we're going to have Jeff Robinson, a good friend, very knowledgeable. He's going to be joining us. And then we're going to have Gene Hoy. He is from TrumpFography.com. That is TrumpFography.com. Wonderful guy. He took many pictures of President Trump. Many pictures. So like I said, you need to go to band.video, share that link with all of your friends. We have wonderful guests appearing tonight. It's Friday night. We finish this week off wonderfully. We have a lot to discuss. We're going to talk about all of these hot topics, everything that people need to be paying attention to. So join me at band.video. Again, join me at band.video. Firepowernews.com. My name is Will Johnson, and thank you for joining.
Wednesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time, only at band.video.
All right, it is Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th, my name is Will Johnson, firepowernews.com. I want to thank everyone for joining us on this very exciting broadcast. We have Tom Peppert who's going to be co-hosting with me again tonight. We have wonderful guests coming on. We're going to talk about impeachment. We're going to talk about the debate last night. We're going to talk about, of course, what the Democrats are pushing, racism. We're going to talk about all of that. So without further ado, let's bring Tom Peppert on with me. We have some exciting videos that we're going to show you. Oh, we don't have time yet? Okay, well, we'll keep going. So we have a clip that I want to show you. This is with Elizabeth Warren. She's dodging. She constantly dodges the whole tax thing about taxing all of us in the middle class and all of us in the lower class. You know, she always dodges everything, the important questions that pertain to all of us. So let's go to that clip with Elizabeth Warren doing what she does best. Might as well be
Senator Warren. Let me take that to you, particularly on what Senator Biden was saying there about health care. He's actually praised Bernie Sanders for being candid about his health care plan. Senator Sanders has been candid about the fact that middle class taxes are going to go up and most of private insurance is going to be eliminated. Will you make that same admission?
So let's be clear about health care, and let's actually start where Vice President did. We all owe a huge debt to President Obama, who fundamentally transformed health care in America and committed this country to health care for every human being. And now the question is, how best can we improve on it? And I believe the best way we can do that is we make sure that everybody gets covered by health care at the lowest possible cost. How do we pay for it? We pay for it. Those at the very top, the richest individuals and the biggest corporations, are going to pay more. And middle class families are going to pay less. That's how this is going to work.
Direct question. And you said middle-class families are going to pay less, but will middle-class taxes go up to pay for the program? I know you believe that the deductibles and the premiums will go down. Will middle-class taxes go up? Will private insurance be eliminated?
Look, what families have to deal with is cost, total cost. That's what they have to deal with. And understand, families are paying for their health care today. Families pay every time an insurance company says, sorry, you can't see that specialist. Every time an insurance company says, sorry, that doctor is out of network. Sorry, we are not covering that prescription. Families are paying every time they don't get a prescription filled because they can't pay for it. They don't have a lump checked out because they can't afford the copay. What we're talking about here is what's going to happen in families' pockets. What's going to happen in their budgets? And the answer is on Medicare for All. Costs are going to go up for wealthier individuals and costs are going to go up for giant corporations. But for hardworking families across this country, costs are going to go down, and that's how it should work.
There it is. You know what? She's a good politician. I mean, that's exactly what they do. They dodge the question. Might as well be dodge, instead of dodgeball, maybe we call it dodge questions. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're very good at dodging the question. How do they expect to pay for all of this stuff that they're throwing at us? I mean, is it just a money tree? Do they have money trees in back of the White House that we don't know about? When they become president, they just go take money off the money tree and just hand it out and pay for whatever it is? I mean, how does that work? I mean, it's a very valid question. The American people is already hurting when it comes to these taxes. We don't need to pay more taxes. The Democrats, that's all they want to do. They want to tax us till we can't be taxed any longer. I mean, it's ridiculous how they continuously do that. You know, we have so many people that don't understand what the Democrats are doing when it comes to taxing all of us. They just hear, oh, we get this for free. We get that for free. Everything is free. Have you ever received anything that was just like health care or, you know, any kind of benefits that is free? I mean, and then when you received it, when you received these free things, how good was it? Did you even appreciate it? I mean, most things that people receive in the past when it's free, most people don't even appreciate it. That has been the norm. So we have Tom Papert with us now. Thank you, Tom, for joining us. I love it when you come on and co-host with me. This is absolutely crazy. The debate you were on with us last night watching the debate. My mistake. The circus, the clown show. You know, Houston did have a problem. So you just saw the clip with Elizabeth Warren, right?
Right. That was possibly, you're absolutely right, Will. That was the most insane, deaf dodge of a question I've ever seen in my life. Elizabeth Warren, will this raise taxes? Let's talk about cost. And she goes on this diatribe. But fundamentally, she does that because, as you were just saying, she knows you cannot pay for something as insane as socialized medicine without dramatically increasing taxes on all Americans. You could take all the wealth from every person who has over $1 million in the bank in this country, and it would not come close to paying for this insane thing they have going. There's no, and just look at the countries where it supposedly works so well. We have people coming from Canada to the United States to use our healthcare system, which is already in shambles thanks to Obamacare. Mm-hmm. We have people in the UK who are fleeing desperately. And not only that, nobody talks about one of the great implications of this, which is immigration. We have in the UK, they have what they call healthcare tourism, where somebody flies to the UK, suddenly it turns out they're dying of cancer, and the British taxpayers have to pay for them. And we know for a fact that these Democrats, Elizabeth Warren, want to pay for illegal immigrants. So not only are middle class taxes going to skyrocket to pay for this universal healthcare fiasco, it's going to pay for it for illegal immigrants, for criminals, for God knows who.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. What about buying votes? Have you ever known for someone to just buy a vote? I mean, just blatantly say, I'm going to pay you money for your vote. We have a short clip from last night's debate that proves that they are willing to buy votes, and they're not even hiding the fact that they're willing to buy votes. And the votes are becoming more and more expensive every year, apparently. So let's go to this clip with Yang talking about buying votes.
That's why I'm going to do something unprecedented tonight. My campaign will now give a freedom dividend of $1,000 a month for an entire year to 10 American families, someone watching this at home right now. If you believe that you can solve your own problems better than any politician, go to yang2020.com and tell us how $1,000 a month will help you do just that. This is how we will get our country working for us again, the American people.
You know, everyone should go to his website and say, won't you just, you know, give everybody a tax cut and then cut out the middleman, right? I mean, that would work. Instead of going there saying, hey, give me $1,000, say, you know what, give me a tax cut. And let me decide how to spend my own money.
Well, Will, that would make sense. But, you know, if you really think about it, Andrew Yang was the most intelligent person of the night, because while the other candidates, we saw Beto say, hell yeah, I'm going after your AR-15s and your AK-47s. Mm-hmm. We had Kamala Harris completely disregard the Constitution, openly say she wants to shred it with an executive order to nullify the Second Amendment. All of these insane things came out of that debate. But one candidate we know for a fact has 10 more votes coming his way than he did when he walked up on that stage. So I say Yang is smart, but at the same time, you're totally right. I mean, this is totally, I don't understand. You look at countless different countries where this UBI has failed abysmally. It's failed in Scandinavia. It's failed in Canada. It's failed anywhere it's been tried because it de-incentivizes people to work. And you mentioned tax cuts. Well, the reason why they don't want to just give us a tax cut is because these people don't work in the first place. They want, you will get people living in a group house with 15 people. So they're getting 15 grand a month, spending it on drugs and who knows what else. So they don't have to work.
Exactly. You know what? Let's change speeds up because we're going to go to heartbreak here. But I want you to hear this clip with Kamala Harris from last night about Trump's tweets.
Where they are learning about how they have to hide in a closet or crouch in a corner if there is a mass shooter roaming the hallways of their school. I was talking about this at one of my town halls, and this child, it was 8 years old probably, came up to me. It was like it was a secret between the two of us. And he tugged on my jacket and he said, I had to have one of those drills. It is traumatizing our children. El Paso and Beto.
Right, you know what? Stop it there. Let's play the clip when we come back because everyone needs to hear it.
learning about how they have to hide in a closet or crouch in a corner if there is a mass shooter roaming the hallways of their school. I was talking about this at one of my town halls, and this child, it was 8 years old probably, came up to me. It was like it was a secret between the two of us, and he tugged on my jacket and he said, "I had to have one of those drills." It is traumatizing our children. El Paso and Beto, God love you for standing so courageously in the midst of that tragedy. You know, people asked me in El Paso, they said, you know, because I have a longstanding record on this issue, they said, "Well, do you think Trump is responsible for what happened?" And I said, "Well, look, I mean, obviously he didn't pull the trigger, but he's certainly been tweeting out the ammunition."
Seriously, he's been tweeting out the ammunition. All right, let me say this before we go. Right now, this is the first time ever, and it's Friday the 13th of all days. Okay, so Turbo Force right now, 50% off the retail price, plus free shipping if you use the promo code FIREPOWER. Okay, go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and use the promo code FIREPOWER, and you get 50% off the retail price plus free shipping. Try it. Get it today. 50% off? I mean, wow. This is amazing. Now, if you get some, or when you do get some, try with some orange juice. And please go to the comment section, the review section, and tell me how it was for you with the orange juice. Okay, so, you know, let's get back to this, what we're talking about here. We got Tom Peppert on with us. Now, one thing that stood out to me was she was talking about the little kid came up and pulled up on her jacket. You notice she didn't say pantsuit? I mean, that's what I was thinking about. It's not your jacket. It's your pantsuit. Hillary Clinton 2.0. What'd you think, Tom?
You know, it just frustrates me because it wasn't that long ago. The schools weren't these gun-free zone murder factories. I mean, that's what a gun-free zone is. 94% increase in crime since gun-free zones have been instituted. But not only that, it used to be children were brought – they brought their rifles in the back of their car to school so they could learn how to shoot. This would solve the problem. Have an armed guard in the school, teach the kids to shoot. This was America not that long ago. But furthermore, this is one of those things that you sit there and listen to her, and I'm just like, nah, that didn't happen. No 8-year-old yeah. went and tugged on your pants.
No, yeah, exactly.
With a weave. Didn't happen. Didn't happen.
Yeah. I don't believe it either. I don't believe it either. Okay, so I'm pretty sure that you saw yesterday before the debate, all throughout the news, they were talking about impeachment. You know, it was like the talk of the town. And I personally, I think they were talking about impeachment so that everyone would get their mind off of Andrew McCabe. So I had this clip about impeachment. And, you know, I've been screaming that if people don't pay attention come 2020, if they find any kind of way to remove President Trump, they're going to go for it. And we're on the verge of never, ever having another decent president like we do right now with President Trump. So we have this clip right now that I want to play. I have four different clips, actually, but this first one, just watch this one, and we're going to come back and discuss it.
I don't think that if you were to put articles of impeachment on the floor today, you can get to 218 votes. And I think the American people aren't there on the issue of impeachment. I would vote no on impeachment unless there's some compelling evidence that comes out over the next couple months. My vote is no.
I don't think we've made the case to the American people that we need to yet. So to the extent they think they can do that, I've been supporting them doing that.
Okay. But right now you don't feel like it's necessary to move down the road of an impeachment inquiry?
Right.
As you know, the leadership in our caucus have been, you know, reticent to move forward aggressively on this, but because of the growing concern, not only the members but our constituents, I think they are, you know, understanding that there had to be some movement and that they understand that this movement could lead to impeachment.
And what are the implications of the leadership not calling this an impeachment inquiry?
Thank you, guys.
Do you have any concerns of the speaker?
See, they're fighting each other. Just say it's impeachment. How come Nancy Pelosi won't say it's impeachment? Because, see, Nancy Pelosi knows that if she says, okay, yeah, we're impeaching the president, it's going to cause a firestorm. It will cause a firestorm. What do you think?
You're right about that. And it was very her press conference, which we should have prepared clips. Maybe on Monday we can air some of these clips. But her press conference where she danced artfully around the word impeachment was really something to behold. At some point towards the end of the press conference, she's so frustrated. It sounded like she dropped the F-bomb on a poor reporter. But Nancy has been trying to push back against the crazies in her own party, the AOCs, the Mad Maxine Waters, all these people. She's been pushing back on them since January of 2017, when President Trump went in, they already wanted to impeach him. Back then, they were talking about Russia. You notice they don't talk about Russia very much anymore.
Exactly.
It's almost like that entire thing went away. And now we're going to get Andrew McCabe indicted here soon. But I almost feel bad for her. She's the 78, 79-year-old lady. She's obviously not all there. She's just like Joe Biden in that regard. And she's pushing back against these impeachment proceedings. And I think this really says that she's lost all control of her party. And if they are successful, I mean, you know they want to do it, Will. You're right. They want to get rid of him by any means necessary.
Exactly, but exactly.
I think this means she's lost all control.
Why even ask Nancy Pelosi? Won't they just ask AOC? I mean, let's ask AOC. seriously, because AOC is becoming the leader of the party. So I have another clip. I'm trying to get these clips in here before we run out of time. Let's go to number six. This is another one with them talking about impeaching President Trump.
If Donald Trump's reelected, do you think Nancy Pelosi will regret her campaign against impeachment?
Yes. And first of all, if impeachment isn't for this president, then why is it in the Constitution?
Exactly.
Right. If not him, then who?
Michael Cohen testified in front of the Democratic House about a crime that the president of the United States committed in the campaign finance violation.
They're referring to Michael Cohen. I mean, seriously, they're referring to Michael Cohen as if he's a valid person for valid information on impeaching President Trump. Like he's it. Here's the proof. Michael Cohen. I mean, seriously, it is ridiculous that they would do that. We got one more clip I want to put in here before we get move on. So let's go to the next one. This is another one where they're talking about impeaching President Trump.
Investigations into the criminality of the Trump White House. And that's a division that is within each member as well as within the caucus. Nobody really knows what to do. And so we've never had a presidency like this before. We wake up every day with a profusion of new events where he is disparaging citizens and trashing the Constitution and violating the law and so on. So, I mean, it's a very complicated situation.
You know, they're saying that he's violating the law. How? They're just saying he violated the law. They're not showing anything. If he actually did a crime, then they can show he did X, Y, Z. This is why he should be impeached. But there's none of that. They have none of that. They're only doing talking points. And what's really, 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 really scary about all of this is that people that hear this nonsense, people that watch this lamestream media, believe every word that they're saying without any tangible proof. I mean, at what point do we say, hold on? People should say, hold on. You're not telling me, you're not showing me anything. You wanted me to believe a certain narrative, and that's exactly what they're doing here. And it's been working. But see, the American people are not dumb. The American people are waking up to it. That's why they're running scared. This is FirePowerNews.com. We'll be back after this.
Weekdays from 7 and 9 p.m. Central Time, only at band.video.
All right, we are back. Friday the 13th. You know what? They should have had the debates tonight. I mean, seriously, they should have had the debates tonight on Friday the 13th. I don't know why they had them last night. It would have been more appropriate for them to have them on Friday the 13th instead of last night. Okay, so we're going to have Caitlin Bennett come on with us. She's going to be on via the phone along with Tom Pepper and myself. And we're going to talk about gun control and how they're, with all of the stuff that the leftist, communist, socialist trying to do to take our weapons away for protection. And why not? She's the best candidate for that, in my opinion. So we have this video clip with, of course, Beto, talking about taking the AR-15s and AK-47s. So let's play that video clip, and then we'll bring on Pepper,
and then Caitlin with us.
Some on this stage have suggested a voluntary buyback for guns in this country. You've gone further. You said, quote, Americans who own AR-15s and AK-47s will have to sell them to the government, all of them. You know the critics call this confiscation. Are you proposing taking away their guns, and how would this work?
I am. If it's a weapon that was designed to kill people on a battlefield, if the high-impact, high-velocity round, when it hits your body, shreds everything inside of your body because it was designed to do that so that you would bleed to death on a battlefield and not be able to get up and kill one of our soldiers. When we see that being used against children, and in Odessa, I met the mother of a 15-year-old girl who was shot by an AR-15, mm-hmm. and that mother watched her bleed to death over the course of an hour because so many other people were shot by that AR-15 in Odessa and Midland. There weren't enough ambulances to get to them in time. Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against...
See, there it is right there. They're not even hiding the fact that they want to take our guns. They're not even hiding it any longer. And do they not use trucks in warfare? Do they not run people over in trucks during a time of war? Do people not bleed out from getting hit with a truck? Didn't someone run someone down in New York City with a truck? It was a Home Depot truck, to be matter of fact. I mean, what are they doing? Instead of trying to teach people to how to protect themselves, they want everybody to be victims. So we have Caitlin and Pepper on with us. Caitlin, you're like the prime candidate for to have the discussion. When you saw Beto saying that he's going to take our AR-15s and AK-47s, what went through your mind?
So the thing that made me angrier than Beto saying that was the audience standing up and cheering.
Yes.
These are the same audience members who, if you said, we're going to protect the unborn in America, we're going to restrict abortions, they say, no, you're taking away my rights. You can't do that. But when you talk about actually taking away people's property, restricting their property rights and their right to bear arms and just defend themselves, they cheer for it. So that's what made me angrier than Beto. He's not going to be president. He's not going to get what he wants with taking our guns. It's not going to happen. But we know why Beto's acting like this. It's because every single Democratic candidate up there on the stage has the same platform. They all say the same stuff. They are no different than one another. So Beto has to try to get attention on himself and be more radical than the others and say, no, we're going to come and take it. We're going to come to your house and we're going to take your guns. So he's doing this for attention. He's not going to win. I'd be more worried if he actually were going to win and if he had a chance, but it's not worth my time to stress over someone who, you know, fantasizes about running over children with his car and got arrested for a DUI and robbery. So honestly, if he were to go through a background check system to buy a gun, he'd probably be denied.
Yeah. You know what? I agree with you. And the scariest thing was everyone standing up cheering. And that only means that that's what the people want. That's what they want. Their base, they want for them to start confiscating firearms from law-abiding citizens. I mean, that's exactly what they want. It reminds me of Nazi Germany all over again.
Well, what's really sad is if you look at the statistics, rifles last year, I believe, no, in 2017, if you look at FBI numbers, they were used in 406 gun-related homicides. And in that, rifles, you also have bolt-action rifles and you have lever-action rifles. And so they all kind of combine into one. But if you break it down to like AR-15s, AR-10s, like there's so, and why do you focus on AR-15s anyway? Like, that's not the only rifle people can have. So he doesn't even know what he's talking about. But anyway, so if you look at that and then you see how many people were stabbed to death, you are four times more likely to get stabbed in America than you are shot by a gun of any kind.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
are
I agree.
Why aren't we focused on the knives? Why aren't we focused on, you know, hands and feet? So
yeah. Yep. So we have a clip that Tom Peppert found, and this is a beautiful clip. And we have to get Tom to, you know, comment on this, of course. This is with Beto. Let's just go to it. This is Beto talking about the AR-15 and how he felt about the AR-15 before this. Let's go to that.
Here in the United States, I own an AR-15. A lot of our listeners own AR-15s. Why should they not have one?
To be clear, they should have them. If you purchase that AR-15, if you own it, keep it. Continue to use it responsibly. I think Texas.
If you own it, keep it. Oh, but now they want to take it. See, he's pandering. He's just trying to go to it. Tom actually came with that video. Tom, let's get your comment on it, and then we'll go back to Caitlin. Oh, we don't have Tom's audio right now.
Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, there you go.
Going haywire. But this does, I think, speak to exactly what Caitlin said, that he's changing his position to out-radicalize the rest of the Democrats on the stage. He has to be the craziest, most insane person out there. And so he's saying this, or this is the big question, because that video is from 2018 when he was running against Senator Ted Cruz. So is this his real – this is the Hillary Clinton, a private policy and a public policy all over again. Is that his real policy, or is it his real policy to take the guns? One has to wonder which is the real Beto. Apparently, he's an international man of mystery now.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know, let's change the subjects here a little bit, because I know Caitlin, she goes out to a lot of different events. I've actually been to an event with her, and, you know, she gets some of the most colorful people to attack her verbally and sometimes even physically. So we have this clip with Caitlin. If I'm not mistaken, this was in Houston during the debate, if I'm not mistaken, right? So let's go to this clip, and then we'll get Caitlin to come back and comment on it.
Right now, this is movement. This is movement. Since the beginning of this country, those of them have found ways to cage our babies, separate families, mistreat and abuse us.
What about abortion?
Relegate us to the second class, to the back of the bus, every single time since the beginning of this country.
Queen is speaking.
Don't
you need to go. You need to go.
You need to go.
You need to go.
You need to go.
I want everybody to take a look over here.
They're being completely nasty towards her. Well, she asked a valid question. What about abortion? Because most of the abortions that take place in the United States just happen to be with black babies.
Get your ass the fuck out.
Get out the press.
Not vote for Trump.
This, I mean, so Caitlin, I mean, they were being saying racial comments towards you. They were being completely hateful towards you. And the police department came over there and they removed you. And I think they probably removed you for your safety because they were pretty rowdy. What would say you?
Well, the thing that the camera doesn't capture in that, but what we have, I'm not sure if we're going to put it in there. Because, you know, YouTube and demonetization and censorship. But they actually told, I actually asked to speak. I said, could I actually speak? And they said, sure. And they were going to hand me the megaphone. But then someone goes, no, don't let her speak. Have a black woman speak instead. So because I was white, I wasn't allowed to speak. And they wanted a black woman to speak instead. So I was like, fine, I can speak pretty loud. I can shout. And so they start going on about babies being taken away from their mothers. And I'm like, oh, that sounds like abortion. That sounds
You know what? Babies. You know what? You're absolutely right. We're getting ready to come to a break. You know, you're absolutely right. And what they can't stand is for a white person or a white female sticking up for black babies or for the unborn child. And these demonic demons just want to continue killing all of the babies that they can. It's like they're happy about it. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Friday the 13th. We are talking about gun control. We talked about the debate. We have Caitlin Bennett on with us, along with Tom Pepper. We're talking about how Caitlin was being attacked by, well, I mean, verbally attacked. I mean, that's what I call it. You can go see the whole video on her page and make sure we try to get her to announce that before she leaves us. So, Caitlin, when you were there, you said that they were going to allow you to speak on the megaphone, but then they turned around and said that you couldn't.
Yeah, they said I couldn't because a black woman should have it instead. And I was like, oh, really? So then I shouted, you know, the hypocrisy about how they support abortion, but they're mad that children are being ripped from their mothers, and that's what abortion is. And so I shouted it because they wouldn't give me the megaphone. I was like, oh, you know, kind of like abortion. And they said, shut up, a black woman speaking. Don't speak over a black woman. And I don't care what her skin color is. I'm not going to pander to someone just because they're black or they're yellow or whatever color they are. So I was like, no, I'm not going to shut up just because she's black. So
you shouldn't have to. You shouldn't have to. It's like reverse. Yeah, it's like reverse of everything that they're doing now. They're trying to make it look like that white people aren't able to say anything. You aren't able to speak up. And you're simply speaking up, saying the right thing. You're fighting for life. You're fighting, regardless of the color, you're fighting for babies. And they seem to have a major problem with that. It's, to me, it's pretty disgusting.
It's super disgusting. And when the police came over, they actually told me I had to stand somewhere else. And I challenged them. And I said, no, I don't have to. This is public property. I don't have to leave. And then they kept touching me. The police kept touching me. And I had to tell them several times, don't touch me.
Oh, wait a minute. The police officers were touching you?
Yep, touching me. They kept trying to push me over to the other side. And I looked at them and said, I'm not going over there. I can stand in public property. And they're like, well, go stand on that public property away from them. And I said, no, I don't have to do that. I'm not going to do that. It was a whole ordeal with the police. The police would let them go and actually yell at Trump supporters. They would let them touch their property. They would let them sit there and tell them to go off themselves. But I couldn't even go over there near their little demonstration, or else the cops were threatening to remove me.
See, this is remarkable to me, because you have the police officers that are, you know, supposed to be protecting everyone, and it's the left that is against the police officers. And for some reason, the police officers seem to side with the left more often than not. Have that been your experience?
No, it's been absolutely my experience this entire time that I've been doing this, that officers have purposely closed my cases against people who have actually physically assaulted me. They've closed my cases after I've told them, I do not want this case closed. I want to pursue criminal charges. They close the case without telling me. They don't take me seriously. They try to remove me from public places. One officer even told me I had to get off a public campus because students didn't want me there. Never has a police officer been the right side and actually done something that they needed to do. So I'm going to do a whole video talking about how conservatives and right-wingers don't need to always bow to the police. They always say, you know, don't tread on me, but then they have a sticker up that says back the blue. Well, who's going to tread on you? It's going to be the blue. And it's time we start calling it out and holding these people accountable.
Yes, I'm completely with you on that. So we have another video that I'd like to play for you. And this is actually another one that Tom came with. This is with some, I think they were fighting with, some bats on the streets in London. They were fighting with these bats. So let's go to that video, and then we'll get your opinion on it, and we'll get Tom to discuss on it as well.
Jeez.
So they're fighting on the street. They're like barbaric, and they're attacking each other. And you can hear the bats clinging when they hit each other. And they're just running around, and they're saying, what's going on? This is like London. And you know what? The thing is, they're black. They're black doing this. They're not white. So what do you expect? I mean, just can you imagine if it was white people doing this? Then, of course, they would all be talking about it, saying, this is white people doing this crazy stuff. This is white people doing it. But you know what? It's black people doing it. That's the amazing part about all of this. And people are not like recognizing it. Well, you know why? Because they've like, okay, well, this is normal for black people to be violent like this. This is normal for black people to do these type of things. So just overlook it. What say you, Tom?
You know, that is actually an extremely insightful take on these events, because I think you're onto something there. And it's sheer bigotry that people just say, okay, that's just the way a certain group of people will behave. And it's not unlike what Caitlin had to do, that she has a predominantly African-American crowd telling her, you don't have a right to speak here. How dare you try to speak over a black woman? This is actual literal bigotry. And we've come a long, long way from Martin Luther King, judge me by the character of my actions, not out by the color of my skin. I agree with you completely. The reason why this was only on my website, National File, and we don't think of it as black versus white versus Latino. That's not the way that I view things, and I don't think it's the way Caitlin views things either. But that is why we were the only ones who had this, because, again, the mainstream is going to overlook it. Status quo in that community.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. If the mainstream were to look at it and call it out for what it is, wait a minute, these are black people that's doing this, then they would be, oh, well, we can't say that because then we might be considered being racist. We don't want people to think that we're racist doing that. So we have to not say anything about their race. But if they were white people doing this, you know that what they would be saying it. So we have another clip. And this one, we're going to have to talk it through because Caitlin won't be able to see it. So let's play this other clip that you brought to us to the table as well. So let's play this other clip. So then we'll just discuss it. Let's go to it. Okay. So you brought this clip to us from WikiLeaks, Tom. Describe what's going on here.
So essentially, this is right in Ilhan Omar's district in Minneapolis, Minnesota. That is the preface here. And what you're going to see on screen for TV viewers is a group of predominantly African, and I believe they are African, not African-American, because, of course, this is Minnesota. This is where our wonderful Somali congresswoman reigns from. This is a group of people. It starts out with one, five more come up. Before you know it, there's 10, 15, maybe even 20 people there. They beat this poor man bloody. They take his phone. It looks like they start ripping clothes off him. They're standing on top of his chest at one point. This is what is going on. This is actually part of a wider crime wave that's hitting Ilhan Omar's district right now, where it's a group of 10 to 20 thugs who will go and beat people senseless to take their valuables in broad daylight in nice parts of the city. This is what's, and by the way, this is something that our writer, Gabriel Keane, discovered when he was researching for this article. We wanted to make sure that it would be absolutely perfect on National File. Did you know this, Will, that Minneapolis, Minnesota is considered the worst place in the United States for African Americans to live? It's totally insane what's going on in our wonderful Somali congresswoman's district.
This is despicable. Now, when I look at this video, I can't help but to think, if this was nothing but young white males doing this to a black male, that my God, the liberal media would be talking about it day in, day out. You would have the ACLU, you have the NAACP, CNN, ABC, MSNBC, the rest of the Alphabet Network soup group, all on this. Al Sharpton would show up. Jesse Jackson would show up. Every last one would show up talking about, oh, this is terrible. But see, you have black people beating up a white person, and the media is nowhere to be found about it. This is absolutely sickening. It is demonic. They're demon. Just look at this. Just look at this. They're demonic, demon people that's doing this. This is ridiculous. It's absolutely disgusting.
Not only that, Will, half the city would be burning. We saw what happened in a place like Ferguson, Missouri, after a similar incident occurred. If you really think about it, if you get down to brass tacks, the city burned. You're not going to see anything like this in Ilhan Omar's district, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, I agree. You're not going to see anything like this. And you know what, Tom? This is so amazing, and this is still happening, and the media is silent when it happens. Jesse Smollett, they would have been happy to go with Jesse Smollett. They would have been fine, but then they got caught. Same thing. And as long as the media continue to do what they're doing, we're going to have these issues. And I've been talking about how the attack on white people has been increasing in this country, and they're not going to back off on it. And as long as the media is not talking about it, it's like out of sight, out of mind. People don't care. All right, so my name is Will Johnson, co-host with Tom Pepper. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back after this message at the top of the hour. Firepower News. Firepower News. Firepower News. We'll be back after this.
Real news. Real people. Real politics. And now, Will Johnson.
Welcome back, firepowernews.com. I want to thank all of you for joining us. So we have another guest coming on with us.
His name is Jeff Robertson. We're going to talk about racially related things. He's a good friend of mine. And I've known him for at least over a year now. I met him on social media. The connection that social media has done for a lot of people has absolutely been wonderful. So it's absolutely a wonderful tool with all the censorship going on. But we've utilized it as much as possible, and we're going to continue utilizing it until they just remove us completely altogether. So we still have Tom Peppert riding shotgun with me, and we're going to bring Jeff Robertson on here momentarily. Do we have Jeff on? Do we have Jeff yet? Okay. Okay, cool. So we'll bring him on in the next segment. So what's going on with all of the racial division? And I talked about it, Tom, before we went on to the last break, and I keep talking about it, and I have a lot of people sending me messages that they don't like the fact that I'm a black male and I'm saying that white people are not bad, because they're not. And one of the things I will bring to their attention, I asked them the simple question. When they had the Underground Railroad, who owned the homes to the Underground Railroad? And then when they start thinking about that, then they start calling me all of these names and they'll tell me to shut up. They say, go away, because then they have to think, oh yeah, it was white people that owned the homes. And they don't want to make the connection. You have more people die that were white during the Civil War trying to free black people than black people did. And they don't even recognize that. They don't want to recognize that, because they've been indoctrinated to believe all of those lies and to believe that white people are just inherently bad. Let me ask you this. You being a white male, I think we don't have your audio. You being a white male, I'm pretty sure you experienced some of this online, because you're a Trump supporter, you're a young white male, and according to the left, you're bad.
I mean, not only have I experienced it online, Will, I'm a college graduate in the 2010s, when it is absolutely the worst time to be a straight white male on a college campus. I mean, I was actually told at one point that even though I was just talking about the Civil War, I said basically the same thing you did. Well, look, who was fighting for the right side here? Who won? What is the country, the United States and the UK, that ended slavery in the West? Who did this? It is, by and large, Western European white men who did this. You're welcome. But no, that's not the way. I was actually told that I could go if I was going to take that approach, that I was going to be expelled from the university, essentially, that I was going to have to talk to the administration. And at that point, I just decided, all right, I guess I'll sit down and shut up and pay an exorbitant amount of money for 4 years and get my piece of paper that now is functionally useless to me. But and it's gotten 10 times worse on social media. We just saw earlier this week an entire movie that is denigrating white Americans called Cuck the Movie, where if you're white, you're just some stupid cuck, according to this film producer, who is bashing the quote-unquote alt-right, which they, of course, extrapolate to mean any mainstream conservative. And well, I just want to say thank you, because you are doing something that cannot be easy. I imagine you have all kinds of people, probably like me, people you've known for your entire life, turning on you because you're pointing out the way the world actually works, and that it is not some sort of horrible racist black against white against Latino hellscape as it is painted to be by the left.
No, you're absolutely right. And when I see you and I see other people that are white, I don't see that people that I should be at their throats with. I don't see people that I should fight with. I see people that we should be getting along. What can we do to make things better? And that's what really gets me about the left. The left, they're always constantly screaming that white people are doing this and white people are doing that, but they don't come up with a solution. They don't come up with a solution. You would think at some point they would say, okay, you know what? We need to stop creating this division. We need to stop trying to fight each other. We need to stop getting at each other's throats. But they don't do that. They try to make up a story to get us fighting with each other. And they're not going to stop it. That is how they roll. But we're going to say otherwise. We're going to do otherwise. Because we are true Americans. We love this country. And we're going to keep fighting for it. This is Firepower News. We'll be back after this.
In the fire of truth, Firepower with Will Johnson.
Welcome back on this Friday the 13th. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for sharing ban.video. Thank you for sharing the links. We are engaged in this battle. We are engaged with one another as Americans to fight tyranny. We're in a spiritual battle all together. And if we don't step up our game to recognize what's happening, we're not going to have a country. So we have Tom Pepper still riding shotgun with me, and we're going to bring in on Jeff Robinson. I was talking about him in the beginning of the last segment. So if we have Jeff and Tom, let's go ahead and bring both of them, put them on screen. So there he is. How you doing, sir? Thank you for joining me. Yeah.
Thank you. Great. Thank you for the invite, pleasure. Will. Congratulations on your show.
Thank you. Thank you. This, you know, it's been a blessing. The journey has just been miraculous, and God is still dealing with me. And as long as I have breath in me, I want God to use me the way he sees fit, because it's not me that made it possible for me to be here. I give all credit to God. So did you see the last clip where we were showing?
Yes, I did.
The group of people, or the group of black males. Yeah. And thank you, Tom Pepper.
It was reported they were Somalians.
Yes. Yes. So let me ask you this. What do you think the media would say? And I'm talking about the lamestream media. What do you think they would say if it was a bunch of white males beating up a single black male the way they were in this video?
Well, we all know that it would be put on a reel, and it would be played on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN on a loop, and it would be 24 hours a day, and they'd be talking about it for the next month.
Yeah, they would be, and it would be nonstop. And it was like, nonstop. You know what? Even without knowing that who they are, even probably having a conversation with them, if they were all white, they would say that they're Trump supporters. See, look, yes, everybody, look, here it is. We have Trump supporters beating up a poor black person, but you don't have that. That's not the case here. And you know what? And as long as that's not the case, they're not going to even give it any attention. And we have to thank Tom Pepper for bringing this to everyone's attention. Beautiful reporting like this that needs to happen constantly, but you don't have the liberal media wanting people to know about it. It's just horrible. And I mean, just looking at it, I mean, let me tell you this. I'm not a violent person. Yeah, let me tell you this. I'm not a violent person. But if I ever walk up on something like this with a group of black people beating up on someone white like this, I'm going to help the white dude. I'm going to start fighting. Because people, I mean, is no one else? I mean, look, people just stand around looking. You can't think this is acceptable.
No. No, it's not acceptable. But in a perfect segue also to the last segment you guys were talking about, I printed out a proclamation of a President Lincoln back in 1863. And he made a proclamation for the fasting, humiliation, and day of prayer. And I just want to read. I'm not going to take long, but I just want to read it because it shows where we are today, because we're just as divided as we are now as we were during the Civil War. I'll just read a portion of the proclamation. It says, whereas the Senate of the United States, devoutly recognizing the supreme authority and just government of Almighty God in all the affairs of men and nations, has by a resolution requested the president to designate and to set apart a day for national prayer and humiliation. And whereas it is the duty of nations as well as men to their own dependence upon the overruling power of God to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow, yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon. And also it goes on, talks about recognition of scriptures and all of that. And of course, the proclamation goes on to talk about how we are too proud to pray to the God who formed us or created us. Mm. The founding fathers did this many times in national crisis. They called for days of fasting and prayer and repentance. But America nowadays, it goes back to what you were saying earlier. Also, Marianne Williamson mentioned how the left is so mean and hateful because they don't believe in God and they refuse to pray. They refuse to call on God. They'd rather government fix our problems than God.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there was an episode where the DNC actually rejected God. They all took a vote to reject God. And it's like they couldn't even, the speaker couldn't even believe it. And he said, okay. And then he said, okay, this can't be true. This can't be true. And he took a second vote on it. And they said, yes, remove God from the DNC. This is how the left is.
The left, they would remove God from everything. They've already removed God from schools, from public venues, from the sports arenas, from the courthouse. If they can remove God from your home, they would. Yeah. I mean, this is how we're, this is the left that, that we're dealing with today. And they're not hiding the fact that they want to remove Christ. They're not hiding the fact that they don't like God. They don't like, they're not even hiding the fact that they don't like white people. And the crazy thing is, a lot of them are white. What say you, Tom?
Yeah. It truly is bizarre, and it's almost like self-loathing, but I think that's what you get when exactly as both of you are saying, when you fall away from God, when you become given over to a reprobate mind. That's what these people are. You know, God is supposed to have created these governments so long as the governments in and of themselves support God. And we have now a party that not only have they rejected God, they've rejected the country. Something that I've seen almost nobody mention is the fact that there is not a single American flag on that stage last night. And when they needed one in such a almost perfect fashion, they would put it up on the big screen. It's our technological overlord. We'll have an American flag for 15 seconds given to us as a computer animation, and then we'll get back to our godless, nationless debate, or if we'll call it that.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the flag, because one of the things with the American flag, that flag was a flag that was standing after the Civil War. And because of that flag, I get to stand here today and have a conversation with you and have a conversation with Jeff. And the Democrats, if they was, if they had it their way, they would have changed it. That it would have been the other flag, and I still wouldn't be free. Jeff wouldn't be free. We're free men, and they can't stand that we're free. And they can't stand the fact that you and I, Tom, can have a decent conversation and not try to be at each other's throats. It's amazing.
That's exactly right. Yes. And I thank every single day. I mean, one of my ancestors is Ulysses S. Grant. And so when people are accusing me of racism and owning slaves and all of this insanity, I'm sitting here thinking, no. If we go back far enough in the family tree, and I would still be in that position, I would gladly lay down my life for the cause that is right. And again, it all comes down to the fact that these people are rejecting not only what this country is founded on, they're rejecting the flag. We saw them just a couple weeks ago saying essentially that the American flag is racist, the Betsy Ross flag is racist. They're rejecting the foundation that is God and religion.
Yeah, you know what? I put a Betsy Ross flag in my office. And a lot of times I'll do little small videos from my office, and I'll purposely show the Betsy flag just because it triggers liberals. I mean, it's a problem for me, and I admit it. It is a problem. I like to trigger liberals with facts and truth. So, Jeff, now you've been on Facebook and you've been talking on social media, and you've seen all the racial division. Do you think at some point that the left would recognize that, okay, it's not working? We should stop with all this racial division.
No. The left will not stop. They are incessant. They continue with their slow march through the institutions. They enslaved African Americans throughout, you know, times of slavery, and of course Jim Crow. That was the Democratic Party, but now they want to enslave the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to quit.
Yeah, they're not going to quit.
As you mentioned earlier, it's Christians who want peace.
Yes,
the scripture says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord." We want peace. We want to get along, even with people we disagree with. You know, I often say, when I disagree with someone, it doesn't mean I dislike them or hate them. It just means I disagree with them. Simple language. And so many times, Christians will let down because we want peace. We want to get along. But the left, all they're interested in is power, and they're not going to quit until they gain the power they desire.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They're not gonna let up. They're not gonna let up. And you know what? That's exactly what they want. They want us to be at each other's throats. They want us to be fighting. But good thing, the American people aren't dumb. The American people are not falling for it, because people are gonna stand up. People believe in God in this country. We are a Christian nation. We'll be back after this. All right, welcome back to FirePowerNews.com. I want to thank everyone for joining us this evening on Friday the 13th. I mentioned earlier that it should have had a debate on Friday the 13th. I mean, I think personally it would have been more appropriate. But we have our special guest, Jeff Robinson, and of course, Tom Pepper riding a shotgun with me. And we're talking about all of the crazy leftists, and we're talking about these racial things that's happening in America. So we have a video clip that I want to play for you. So let's go to that first video clip that we have. And I want to get, yes, we have another clip. I want to show this to them, and we'll get their opinion on it. Let's go to that clip.
It's a supporter of yours. He's a supporter of yours that used to be a supporter, and he's not anymore.
I don't know who you're talking about.
He's the man that you pointed out at the rally and called my African-American. I don't know.
We have tremendous African-American support. I would say I'm at my all-time high. I don't think I've ever had the support that I've had now. And I think I'm going to do very well with African-American. African-American support has been the best we've had. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that from unemployment and unemployment, both employment and unemployment. I think this. It's very simple. We have the best numbers we've ever had for African-Americans in terms of employment and unemployment. So I think we're going to do very well. Yeah.
Same city he blasted earlier this year when he launched a racially loaded attack on its longtime congressman, Elijah Cummings, tweeting, "Cummings' district is a disgusting rat and rodent infested mess. If he spent more time in Baltimore, maybe he could help clean up this very dangerous and filthy place."
Those people are living in hell in Baltimore. They're largely African-American. You have a large African-American population, and they really appreciate what I'm doing, and they've let me know it.
Wow. You know what, Tom and Jeff, this is exactly what I've been talking about, how they're always trying to depict President Trump as being racist. He's not racist. He called out Baltimore exactly what it is. It is rat infested. And the Democrats, they have this whole notion that if a president like President Trump, because he's white, talking about the rat infested conditions, then he's racist. He's simply saying that black people don't have to live in these conditions. And then they talk about, oh, well, you can't say that because black people should live this way. What say you, Jeff?
Well, again, it's the inconsistency of the left. It's sort of like akin to the N-word. If you're a rapper and you can use the N-word, but if you're a white person, you can't use the N-word, that's racist. But if you're Elijah Cummings, who's black, and then the mayor of Baltimore, who's black, they can say the city is rat infested because they're black. But Trump can't say it's rat infested because he's white. I mean, it's either rat infested or it isn't. So this is the illogical behavior of the left. They want to control the narrative. And as I always say, it's time for conservatives and Christians to stand up and control the narrative and not back down. Bullies, electricity and water, they hate the least path of resistance. So we need to stand up and resist them, and they will stop doing what they're doing. Don't let them push us around and tell us what language we can use. Baltimore is rat infested.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In the beginning of that clip, the beginning of it, President Trump was talking about, or the reporter asked President Trump about he said, "That's my African-American." It was at a rally. Yeah. And now that African-American said that he's leaving the Republican Party and he's become an independent and he's in California. I think he's doing it because it's a political stunt, trying to get publicity. Right. And because he's run for political office five times, if I can get it out, for five times. And he's failed every single time. So it has nothing to do with President Trump. He's just upset because he's not doing the right thing. He's not doing his job to get elected. I mean, it happens. But the point is they're trying to make it look like President Trump is racist because he said, "That's my African-American." And someone sent me a personal message and they actually tagged me on Instagram. And they said, "What do you think about President Trump saying my African-American?" And I said, "You know what? I said, President Trump is my white president that did more for black people than Obama. What now?" Then they got upset. They was like, "Oh, how dare you? How dare you say that?" So, Tom, if you saw that comment from someone like me, what would you think me putting that out there?
It doesn't bother me whatsoever. I mean, it's a bizarre situation. We've seen this before. President Trump said that exact thing before. It was a black guy in a Make America Great Again hat all the way back in 2015 or 16. And he goes, there's my African-American over there. I love the African-American support. You guys are wonderful. I love you all. And then the media tried to turn it into a fiasco. I think you're right. I think this is a cheap publicity stunt for this guy to maybe sell some books, get some votes, get a couple interviews on CNN and MSNBC. That's all it's about. And it's so obvious, especially if the guy is from California and he shows up at all of these Trump rallies. This is a clear, stupid political stunt because he likely knew there was a chance President Trump would say this. And meanwhile, President Trump's administration, with very little help from the Republican Party, might I add, let alone the Democrats who are dragging their feet all the way, the black unemployment rate is at a record low. All unemployment rate is at a record low. President Trump doesn't see black, white, Latino, doesn't see it whatsoever. He sees a victory for America. And that is something we can all get behind, apparently, except for this guy.
Exactly. I was from California. I used to live in California before I moved to Texas. And I supported President Trump. And I would never do that just because President Trump is like not giving me attention that I'm going to go out and do this. Well, Rosa did the same thing. She got upset because she wasn't getting the attention that she wanted. So then she started attacking President Trump. It's all for publicity. They don't have nothing else to do. And you notice that the lamestream media don't want to show anything with these black people until they go against President Trump. So then that way they can tell all the other black people that are watching, look, 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 black people aren't supporting President Trump. But you know what? In the year 2018, last year, USA Today, they put out an article showing 36% of the black community was supporting President Trump. Mm-hmm. To me, that number is even lower than it is today. But see, they're trying to do everything they can to make it racially related. I have progressives sending me messages talking about, Will, you're always talking about racial stuff. Well, stop being racist. I mean, seriously, if they stop pushing all this racial division in the country, I would stop talking about it. It's like they don't get it. It's like they can't figure it out. So, Jeff, with the black community supporting President Trump, you have the liberal media saying that it's not taking place, it's not happening. Do you think that the black community is supporting President Trump where the liberal media is lying about it?
Well, yes, because the liberal media lies about everything. You have the Blexit movement that is taking place. You have Brandon Strock also, who's got a lot of black individuals. That's, as a matter of fact, a walk away. I met you in Washington, D.C., back in October of 2018. And so more and more people are coming on board. As I mentioned before, I'm a conservative, always been a conservative, never voted Democrat. And when Trump was running, I didn't think he was conservative enough. So I didn't vote for him initially, but I will vote for him the next time. In 2020, I will vote for him. And many other black Americans will do the same. I've talked to some and they said they didn't vote for him in the first place, but they will vote for him the next time because he is doing great things for the African-American community. He's doing great things for the entire country, which is going to help out the black community.
Yep, absolutely. Hey, Jeff, I want to thank you for coming on with us. It's been an honor and a great pleasure. Thank you for coming on. This is Will Johnson, FirepowerNews.com. We'll be back after this.
With Will Johnson.
All right. Welcome back. Last segment, well, next to the last segment of FirepowerNews.com. So, we have our next guest coming on. This gentleman was a personal photographer for President Trump, Gene Ho. He has a website, TrumpOgraphy.com. TrumpOgraphy.com. Please welcome Gene Ho, photography artist and Donald Trump's personal photographer, who joined us in the discussion with his latest book sale, TrumpOgraphy. Hello, Gene. Thank you for joining us.
Hey. How are you?
Glad to see you and talk to you in person, or not in person, but glad to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Very excited.
It's awesome. So let me ask the question right now. Here's one question that I have for you. And I actually have a list of questions, and I make sure these written down. How did you come to meet President Trump? How did you get that awesome job to be his photographer?
You know what? It's almost like you just totally lucked out on it. He was at a convention. I've been a photographer for probably 30 years. He was at a convention. I was taking pictures there. And like everyone's there, Ted Cruz is there, Ben Carson's there. But I really, really like Trump. So I took pictures and I sent it to Trump personally. And not even thinking anything of it. This was even before he ran. He sends me a personal note saying, "Gene, love the photos. Thank you very much." And then he invited me out to the first event, and I stayed there till the very last day, very last day.
Wow. What was your first impression of President Trump?
You know what? You know, truthfully, when I first met him, because I photograph a lot of celebrities, and I was so excited, but a lot of times you just think, you know what? He's just going to be the biggest jerk in the world when I meet him. And I started talking to him. The guy's nice. I love him. And he really won me over for the first time I met him. And I had other choices. I could have at least talked to the other campaigns. But when I saw Trump, I said, this is my guy. This is the guy I'm going to shoot for.
So is it true about his stamina? Is it true that he just goes on and on?
Okay. When I first was with the campaign, I am not joking you. Everyone there that knew him before me said, listen, this guy never sleeps. He probably sleeps like 3 or 4 hours. This guy has so much energy that he just keeps on going and going. I remember at the last week of the campaign, we were all getting tired. Sometimes we were doing 3-4 events a day. But Trump doesn't tire. I don't know what it is about it, but he
and it's like, and a, drinks like that. It's like a human machine, right? Just keeps going and going.
It really is like that. I mean, he outworked all of us, and all of you guys could have figured this out. You guys probably know this. When have we even seen Trump ever even sick since he's been in the limelight almost 24/7? Like, the guy has incredible stamina.
Wow. So how is Trump interaction with celebrities? You know, you're taking pictures, and how does he interact with them? Does he change his demeanor, or is he the same?
No, I'm going to tell you something about this, and this is truth. This is the truth of what I saw, and I wrote about this in my book because this was backstage. I did the VIP photos, so I was back there really seeing him interact with people. And this is the God honest truth. Backstage, there would be people that were celebrities that people knew they were backstage. When Trump walked into the room, he never beelined to the celebrities. He never beelined to, like, the people that everyone knew that was in the room. Trump would always go into the back room, the VIP, and he would seek out first people that were in uniform, soldiers, first responders, police officers, and he would greet them first before he walked over to any of the celebrities.
Really?
Sometimes he would even pass by the celebrities in order to beeline to the men in uniform and shake their hands.
Wow. And the media never talked about that.
None of it was ever talked about. And you know what? The thing is, you know, back then we didn't talk about what happened backstage. And it was only after, when I wrote the book, that I had a chance to tell people what was really like backstage and what was he really like, you know, interacting with different people.
Interesting. So let me ask you, I have another question for you.
Sure.
What did other people working on his campaign, including the Secret Service, think about President Trump? I'm pretty sure you had conversations with people on the side when there was downtime. What were their thoughts about President Trump?
Right. You have to remember, I was with Trump about 3 or 4 months before he even ran for, officially ran for president or declared. So I spent a year with his personal bodyguards. But then once Secret Service came, it was a lot of time spent with them because I was backstage and I would have to basically wait backstage for hours, sometimes 3-4 hours. And backstage, I'm sitting there with Secret Service agents that are just guarding certain areas. So here's the thing. Everyone I talked to, I just asked them. I said, hey, you know, what is it like working with Trump? And what is it like working with other ones? And they switch off. And I could tell you, all of the Secret Service agents that I talked to love Trump and loved him to a degree that, like, they would do anything. But the other people that they worked before, and I could, you don't have to, you could guess who they were, because they don't always just work with Trump. They work with other people that they had to take care of.
It's amazing because the, you know, you have the liberal media. They won't talk about anybody that likes Trump or respects President Trump. They only talk about the people. Well, I mean, you know, bad news is always good news when it comes to the liberal media. But it's amazing. Right. Let me ask you this. Was President Trump ever demanding? I mean, was he, because, you know, the liberal media, to say he's always demanding you have to have loyalty. Was he demanding?
No. Wait, hold on. Just really quick, if I could just mention it first.
Sure.
The press, the mainstream media is always calling Trump a racist. Number one, he's not a racist. First of all, you can look at me. But number two, he is so demanding as a boss. As a boss, he's demanding. When I say demanding, he expects things to be done a certain way, to be done fast, to be done efficient. And so if you're not part of the deal, if you can't get a board on that, you're gone. That's why so many people were fired, because he demands not some kind of blind loyalty, but he demands you to get things done correctly and right.
He wants you to do your job. He basically wants you to do your job, do it. I mean, do it the best of your ability. And I mean, that's all you can ask of someone, right? I mean, and that's what they're asking. Let me ask you this, because I want to make sure we get all of these in, because our time is like running fast. Very interesting conversation here. So I'm told that you have like a interesting story about the Secret Service. What is that?
No, it's about the time that I almost got killed by Secret Service. You know, my job is to make Trump look good. And then so one time I see him walk in and his tie is crooked. So I just go after his tie to fix it. And then Secret Service goes, ooh, you know, like surrounding me like I was going to like I'm Jackie Chan trying to attack him or something like that.
That's pretty good. I bet I would love to see that on camera. So let's talk about Trumpography.com. Yes. You have a book that's coming out, and we're going to talk more after this break, but I want you to go ahead and briefly talk about that, and we'll talk about it again when we come back from the break.
Right. You can easily find the book by going to my personal website, geneho.com, so G-E-N-E-H-O.com. But it's my new book, and basically what I do is all the stories that I just told you are included in this. Basically, behind the scenes, what Trump is really like behind the scenes. And it's completely different from what mainstream media tries to portray him to be. And like I said, you know, I was there. But the thing is, I was a fly on the wall. I was watching him interact with different people. He's not a racist, and he's a very nice person to be around.
Wow. So if you had a book that was talking bad about President Trump, then you would have the mainstream media talking about it. If there's anything negative, then maybe you should let them know about it, so then they would bring you on all of these socialist media outlets to talk about it. This is FirePowerNews.com. We'll be back after this. We got to pay some bills. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com. See you in a minute. All right, we are back. We have our special guest, Gene Ho, and of course, Tom Pepper is still riding shotgun with us. We are talking to Gene Ho. He was a personal, or is a personal photographer for President Trump. Trumpography.com. He has his book coming out, his book is out. You can get it. Let's bring Gene back on so we can talk more about his book and how people can get it. Then I'm going to get back to some of these questions that I have for him. So, Gene, we were discussing your book before we went to break. Please elaborate more on it.
Well, first of all, this is really the interesting thing about it. Think about this. If I wanted to lie, think about it. How much would I have been able to cash in on this thing? If I just decided to tell just a couple of lies, say some negative things about Trump, that's how you know I'm telling the truth. There were people that spent a fraction of the time with Trump and having book deal for $1 million. And yet, the thing is, the book is being totally ignored by the mainstream media because it's positive on Trump.
Yeah, you know what? I can see that. I'm like, why is the media not talking about it? I mean, do you have anything in there that might be like, I mean, maybe you say, you know what? Well, President Trump, he was eating chicken or something. Maybe you say, you know, something, and then maybe, you know, get the ears of him, you know? I mean, it's really disgusting that you have to, that someone has to lie just for the media to talk about President Trump. It's really disgusting.
You know what? The thing is, I just decided, and no, let's even do it this way. Was it ever a temptation, right, for me to say, you know what, I could really just cash in and just tell a little bit lies about him? But that's not what I saw. The difference is I was a fly on the wall, and it's not like me and Trump were like every single day's buddies talking. Like, I'm the photographer watching him interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't like that. The mainstream media doesn't like that because they're constantly trying to brand them as some sort of racist.
But so you spend a lot of basically personal time with him, just taking pictures, and you're coming out and you're telling the truth. And because you're telling the truth, they don't want to talk about it. And then you have people that don't even spend a fraction of the amount of time that you did, and they make up all of these lies and they run with it. I mean, it's completely backwards. It's completely backwards.
Right. Now, here's the difference like that, because I was behind the scenes. This is from when he first started running for president. I was there 3 or 4 months before he even actually decided to run officially for president. And wow. I've seen him interact with different people. I seen how he interacted with my family when he met my family, and my children are biracial. I seen how he interacted with me. You know, what was he a tough boss? Yeah, he's very demanding. He wants things done fast and correctly. But as far as a person, he is probably one of the most a person that you just love to spend time with, and a person that is really nice to other people. And
he has a big heart.
Yes,
he has a big heart. You know what? When you're describing President Trump, I can't help but think about Alex Jones, because Alex Jones has a whole organization that he runs at InfoWars, and he's demanding on his people to do a good job, and he wants people to produce and do their job. But he has a huge heart. Same thing like President Trump has a huge heart. Let me get on to some of these questions, because we're going to run out of time really quick here.
I love this. Go.
Yeah. So in the early days of the campaign, you actually organized meet and greets. What was that like?
Now, could you just imagine, like, the power that I had early on? And I don't have this power now, but can you just imagine? Early on, I would call people because I had the ability to call meet and greets. Hey, you know what? Hey, would you like to talk with meet Donald Trump? You know, some of his first rallies or some of his first meetings, I have pictures of it in my book. He would walk in and go into a room with about 50 to 75 people there. He would start out talking to small groups, and there were some rooms where the seats weren't even all filled. He would start talking, and then people would come in late and take a seat in the front row. I mean, that's how small it started. But Donald Trump believed in himself, and that's how he did it.
Wow, that's amazing. So how does it contrast to the media, the bias with President Trump? I mean, you're talking about all these positive things. You have positive things in the book. I mean, so the bias, how does it contrast from what you actually saw from what they're actually saying?
Okay, here is something that I saw, and this is the most interesting thing. If there was a Trump rally and there was 10,000 people, let's say, inside, there was about 5,000 people outside. But I saw this with my own eyes, where the fake media would find a small group of protesters, maybe about 10 or 15 protesters, and they would zoom in to these people. And not only zoom in, they would give them cues to begin chanting negative things about Trump. And they portrayed it as if it was some big, gigantic protest outside. It
wow,
wasn't
they
like
were,
that at all.
They were timing the protest.
They were timing, correct.
Wow.
Timing the protest, so they had groups. And I have witnesses that saw this with me, where they would take the camera and say, okay, ready? go. And then they start chanting anti-Trump.
That's crazy. It reminds me of a scene where CNN was overseas and they were trying to make it look like a certain episode was happening with the women there. It's just crazy. That's why President Trump keeps constantly calling them fake news. He's constantly calling them fake news. And this is why. So let me ask you this. With what do you think his chances are winning despite all of the reporting that they're putting out?
Okay, right now I'm on my book tour, and everywhere I go on my book tour, about 200 to 400 people show up just to hear me talk about Trump and talk about the book. But here's the truth of it. I am going to tell you right now, 2020, we welcome this do-over. It's going to be such a big victory for Trump. I'm out there and I'm seeing people. No one will believe me, but I have the facts to prove it. I sell more of my book, Trumpography, in L.A. than any other city in America. And I have it documented. I have all the proof of it. But America is due for a great awakening, and they're going to see, people are going to see how much America loves Trump.
Yeah, you know what? I completely agree with you. I'm a black male, and I'm on there on Trump's tweet constantly, and I'm telling people, you know what? There's more people supporting President Trump than speaking out. And when I put those, you know, right there along with his tweets, they get upset with me. They act like, and you know what? The liberals, they act like they lost some property the way they're attacking me. It's like, how dare you leave this plantation? But anyways. So you mentioned you have mixed children. Do you have any of your own, you know, personal stories, how they were treated by the campaign and how they're dealt with different people of other races?
No, I'm going to say this, and I mean this with all my heart, and I talk about this in my book. The day that my wife and my son, met Trump, that day, by the way, I got in trouble because I wasn't fast enough or I didn't do something enough. Trump is like that boss where he could get upset at you at work and call you out at work, but then once he meets your family, it's almost like the boss that sees your company picnic. He looked at my wife and my son, and he doted on my son like it was his own grandchild. I could tell when people are racist and prejudiced. I'm hypersensitive to it because I'm Asian.
So I mean, you're behind the camera. You see things that a lot of people don't see. You got that eye, right? So you're seeing it. You're seeing it.
Yes.
So we're about to run out of time. So let me do this. Let's talk about your book again. Tell people how they can get your book to find out and read it, because this is books like yours are the ones that really need to be promoted, not these lies that they're putting out.
Yes, please. The website is Trump-ography.com, but basically there's a dash in it. But if you just go to my main website, geneho.com, geneho.com, please check it out there. And really quick, if I could also say
sure.
It's on Amazon, and we've had a lot of trouble with basically Amazon online.
They're censoring it?
Put it this way, on the Barnes & Noble's website, they erased all my 5-star reviews. But then when all of Trump Nation came to call them out, they said, oh, no. It was just a glitch.
Wow.
To check out, which they have not answered really quick, is that they listed my book, Trumpography on Amazon, as a child's book, a children's book.
Oh, wow. Hey, Gene, I've got to schedule another interview with you again. Please, let's do this again. Okay? Need for you to come on with me again. Thank you. All right, this is Firepower News Friday. The week is out. We'll see you on Monday. God bless.